This is episode 162 with Dan Kelly, the 1718 president of NASSP. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, and my mission in life is to help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, I talk with Dan Kelly. We explore a number of interesting topics like the need for principal coaching and mentoring. And let's just stop there for a second. You know that I coach school leaders. And if you want to join that community, it's easy. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM for mastermind. Read about all the incredible value. Listen to actual mastermind meetings. I have podcasts uploaded there. You could see current member testimonials, and then you could fill out the application, all right? I don't let just anybody in. I vet them, but fill out the application. We'll get in touch and see if the masterminds are right for you. It is crazy, the more and more, and maybe I'm just focused on this, but here's the president of NASSP seeing a huge shortage for principal coaching and one-on-one development. We're here for you, so let me help. But back to the show. We're also talking how education is not broken. So it's a myth that we have big problems here in America. Education is working, and the mistake of not listening. Speaking of not listening, today's podcast upgrade, I created a very special video. It's not available on my YouTube channel. It's private, and it's called Transformational Listening. And so we talk a bit about how it's a mistake to focus only on assessments and all this other, you know, the things that need to get done within a school, but you need to focus on the relationships. You need to focus on listening. So I'm here to help you out with that. You can download that video at betterleadersbetterschools.com/162 Dan Kelly, or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com.
I'm Steve Mileto from Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. My guest today, ooh, this is awesome. Like, I'm so excited when Dan reached out to me and I said, seriously, he wants to be on the show? And now he's here. So let me read his bio. But Daniel P. Kelly is an educator, instructional leader, and innovator. Before assuming the presidency of NASSP in 2017, Dan served as principal of Smithfield High School in Smithfield, Rhode Island, and was named the 2012 Rhode Island Principal of the Year. Before this, he served as a high school assistant principal, a high school and middle school special ed teacher, and a middle school math and science teacher. As a leader in education, Dan believes in challenging current instructional practices to provide creative and effective opportunities for students to learn, grow, and succeed. He is passionate about educational leadership that builds strong relationships with faculty in the community, utilizing social media to foster connections between educators, and establishing personal learning networks for collaboration and professional development. Dan, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
My pleasure. I'm excited to be with you. It's nice to finally talk to you. Everything's kind of been through email and online and listen to your podcast. So it's nice to finally connect here face-to-face.
Absolutely.
Online face-to-face.
Yeah, I so appreciate you reaching out. I've been looking forward to this for a while. So thanks again for being my guest.
Pleasure.
Hey, so I like to ask now people just to describe their perfect day at work. And you can take that from the perspective of being a principal or as the president of NASSP, however you want to take it. But I just want to hear, what does a perfect day at work look like for you?
Yeah, so this year it's been a little bit of a different setup for me. So I've taken the year off. I have a leave of absence from Smithfield High School to be president of the National Association of Secondary School Principals, and so I get to travel around the world and around the country and work with principals. I do professional development. I attend professional development, and I spend quite a bit of time down in Washington, D.C., advocating for principals and for school leaders. And so I would say this year, my perfect day at work has been hanging out with principals in various states and listening to their stories. To be able to listen to principals in Wyoming as they talk about arming teachers and principals and how that may or may not work in their particular community. To be able to sit down after a conference and share a nice beverage with a group of principals and really hear the issues that are impacting them. And then being able to take those stories, and then when I go up to the Hill in Washington, advocate for principals. So I've had a really unique year. I've been able to hang out with a lot of different of leaders in Washington with the U.S. Army. So every day has been just fantastic and a new challenge and a new opportunity. I would say that as far as in school, when I'm back at Smithfield High School, for me, the perfect day is making sure that I've got a fully loaded iced tea ready to go for the day and be out in the building and talking to kids. I love it when I get groups of kids together in my office to talk about the issues that matter to them, things that we can do to improve their experiences at our school. I love meeting with my leadership team and delving into some innovative, grading practices or changing how we might look at grading in our building. Those have been really challenging conversations, but very worthwhile. But at the end of the day, for me, it's about being around the kids and working with them and trying to help them become the best possible students and leaders and just genuine good people that they can be.
And is it true that you're going to have everybody call you President Kelly when you return to Smithfield?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. that's not going to happen. It's interesting, though. I've been working on my transition back, and people are excited. I think people are a little nervous, too, about coming back. I think the staff is a little worried that now I've been gone for a year, I'm going to have all these crazy ideas. I'm going to try to implement them all at once in August. And I'm not doing that. So if any of them are listening to this podcast, it's going to be okay. We'll take baby steps.
It's going to be okay. speaking of all those ideas, maybe based on all those conversations and the different schools and districts you visited, is there a particular topic that jumps, front and center in your mind that you're just really fascinated by right now in education or leadership, and that you'd like to share this idea with the listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast?
I think that the conversations have really been all over the place, to be honest. And it's almost by region. Our current leadership in our country right now at the federal level has really drives a lot of the conversations that we're having. The lack of respect for teachers, how social media is being used by some members of our government here, and how that has impacted students and teachers. And when you get into the whole DACA conversation. So when you're in California visiting some of the schools that have higher minority populations, that whole DACA conversation comes up. South Dakota, Wyoming, a lot of conversation around gun control, arming teachers, arming principals. How would that work? Is that the best strategy? But I think one of the biggest conversations has been a teacher shortage and principal shortage problem in our country. I was able to visit Oklahoma back in in October, and they were just starting to have these conversations about trying to find ways to fund teacher salaries and to increase teacher salaries there. And then you see what's happened here in the last couple of months with walkouts and watching my former commissioner of education, Deborah Gist, who's now in Tulsa, Oklahoma, leading a walk from Tulsa to the Capitol to support those teachers and their pay raises. I mean, there were states, Texas, Arkansas, are paying up to $15,000 more per year and stealing the best teachers from Oklahoma. So we've got a big conversation around our country around how do we get more teachers involved in this field. Even our colleges are struggling to get folks to join those colleges and to go through programs. Our country is facing a really unique set of problems here over the next 5 to 10 years.
Any ideas on how to solve that?
We have to, part of it is we have to change the rhetoric and the conversation around education. The media always tends to focus on the negative. And I get that. They have to sell newspapers and magazines and web space. And I understand that business side of it. But I think as educators, we have to take control of the message. We have to get it back. As principals and school leaders and teachers, we need to be utilizing the tools available to us to get out the positive things that are happening in our buildings. And we really have to try to silence that negative as much as possible. And that's a challenge. I mean, you know, some teachers don't want to get into the social media stuff. I get that. But we've got to find one or two key leaders that are good at that in our buildings and get those stories pumped into the media, because there's a lot of great things happening across our country. And too often we focus on the negative side of that, and it doesn't help any of us.
Yeah, there's, you know, we got to take control. And I encourage everybody listening, they're probably already doing this. If they're on their device and listening to a podcast, they're probably already pretty active on social media. I'm going to make an assumption there. But if they're not, you know, go all in on that. You know, if you don't tell your school's story, somebody else is. And if we allow just the news and, you know, other folks, you know, a lot of times the people that talk on social media have a negative voice because of some type of experience. We need to share all the positive things. And Dan, you had the privilege of visiting, you know, so many schools through this past year. And like you mentioned in the pre-chat, you know, education is not broken. That's a myth. It's not broken here in the States. There's so many incredible things happening. And, you know, I just want to encourage folks too to be positive and tell their school stories on social media. And I think of, you know, Adam Welcome and Todd Nesloni with Kids Deserve It, you know, or Jeff Kubiak Joyful Leaders. I think Bethany Hill might be involved there too. I've seen her post on that. Sean, you know, with Celebrate Monday. And there's just, there's so many hashtags and positive things that we can do and turn that all around, but it takes effort and you got to fight the fear too, the fear of putting yourself out there. But it's so worth it.
Right. And I think as leaders, we really have to continue to push just using Twitter. I mean, Twitter has been one of the best professional development tools I've come across and that I use on a daily basis. But I love George Kuros's concept. If we can get every teacher to take 2 minutes and tweet something that they did that day into a specific hashtag for their building, and then the entire building spent 2 more minutes reading everybody's hashtag, what a great way to change culture in a building and still get a positive message out into our communities. But we as leaders have to create those opportunities for teachers to become more comfortable with Twitter or whatever tool that they're going to use. And we have to find ways to provide that time. We can't keep just adding things onto teachers' plates and principals' plates.
Right.
We have to take something off, and we're not good at taking anything off our plates.
No, yeah, that's, you know, when I talk to superintendents, that's my biggest thing. And of course, the principals too, but exactly. You can't keep adding to people's plates. You know, we're going to have obese school leaders that, you know, they'll be eating too much. And so you got to take some things away. And I like to believe, you know, I think there's a lot of power in addition by subtraction. And if you can identify these 3 things, we're going to knock them out of the park. And we understand this other cool 4th and 5th thing, we're not going to get to do it all, you know, but these 3 things, we're going to do the best. You're going to be such a much more well-rounded, actually, school because of going deep on the few. We call it the vital few versus the trivial many. That's from the book Essentialism. And so important what you're saying there. We're going to talk about your year as president of NASSP just next. But before we do, I'm really curious, you know, what is your why? What drives you in terms of education and leadership?
That's a great question. And I think that why has changed as I've grown and become a parent. The why has changed. I think early on, I was always interested in leadership. I always read leadership type books. Usually it was mostly around coaching back in the early days before kids when I was doing a lot of basketball coaching. I've been fascinated with leaders like Lincoln and Sun Tzu and some of their principles. And I was fortunate to have a couple of good mentors early on that saw something in me and pushed me into leadership. My why right now, my biggest why are Andrew and Caitlin. And that's my son and my daughter. My son, Andrew, will be a freshman at my high school next year. And for the last couple of years, that's kind of been one of my mantras to my staff. You know, when we talk about some of the innovations or changes or difficult conversations we've had, that's the thing in the back of my head. I want my kid to have the best possible experience. I want my kids to be able to come to my high school and to be able to have tremendous opportunities and to be able to learn from a staff that's motivated and passionate about their work. And so knowing that my kids were always going to come, you know, living in the community, and they were always going to go through my high school, that always was in the back of my head. And making sure that if I knew I was taking care of my own kids and putting the best, then all the kids in my community would be able to have those same opportunities. So I think that's my biggest why. I probably have a couple more underneath that. But right now it's putting my kids, my two, you know, Andrew will be a freshman next year, which freaks me out.
Yeah.
I'm terrified next year of him coming in, you know, just turned 14. So I'm a little nervous, but I'm really excited to be able to spend these next 4 years watching him grow in our building.
Yeah, it's going to be such a gift too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's dig into your role as president of NASSP and what did you learn through that process? What do you want to share with the listeners?
So many, I tell you, I've had so many great opportunities. I think that I talked a little earlier about that teacher principal shortage. We have to have a much larger scale conversation around the challenges of getting quality educators into our field. I think one of the biggest takeaways has been principal coaching and mentoring. And I was fortunate to be part of the National Teacher of the Year Selection Committee the last 2 years. And one of the finalists this year made a great point in her opening speech to us. And she said, it was around the Olympics. She said, why do our Olympians in the United States all have coaches, but our teachers don't all have coaches? And so I took that kind of one step further and went, you know what, our principals don't have coaches. We don't provide a lot of mentoring and coaching for our teachers and for our principals. And so I've been investigating that more and more in my state and in the region around the country. Danny, that's how I came across you and talking with some other folks. They said, you got to check out your work around this area. But I think that we're missing the boat. And I've had two friends of mine that had really challenging years this year as first year principals, and they didn't receive any mentorship. They didn't receive a lot of guidance.
Right. As a first year,
oh. Let alone as a 3 year or 5 year person.
Right.
And so I think there's some things that we have to work on there as a profession to help with that. Again, going back to our, as a whole, as a country, our facilities for our students are just woeful. I've run into a few buildings that were, you know, brand spanking new and beautiful, but we have an aging facility problem in our country, and we're just not investing the right resources into that. And for the way that students learn now and the skills that we're trying to develop in kids, we can't be sitting in buildings that are 100 years old with HVAC systems that have completely failed. And, you know, one day it's, you know, the air conditioning's not working and you're sweating. And, you know, if you're in New England, the next day it drops 40 degrees and you're freezing, you need the heat back on. So I think we've got a couple issues around that. I think the biggest takeaway, and you mentioned earlier, is education is not broken. There are so many great things that are happening in our country, and we have gaps, and there are things we have to do around, you know, minority and ELL students and bringing them up to speed. But we're educating kids at a higher level than any other time in our country. And we need to celebrate that, and we need to be excited about that. So I think we've got to continue, as we talked earlier about, you know, telling our story and really, really trying to stay positive about that. But I got to tell you, the biggest takeaway this year, and this is not going to be earth-shattering to the people that are listening to this because they're part of a PLN,
yeah.
But it's about relationships. Everything we do comes back to relationships. As leaders, we have to continue to cultivate and nurture our relationships with our teachers and our students and our communities. And I haven't done a great job of that at different times in my career. I've forgotten that. But as I've gone around the country and listened to stories, everything comes back to that word relationships. And I can't emphasize how important that is for our jobs.
Was there anything you saw or anything in your current leadership practice that you could share with the listeners in regards to building strong relationships? You know, maybe something that you take for granted that you do, but it's actually quite extraordinary. Maybe it's some type of strategy or a tip or a trick that you could share or something you observed.
I think, don't know if it's not really, it's not a tip or a trick. It's just, I think we have to spend more time listening to our staffs and to the teachers and to the experts. I think that's something that I shifted away from in my building the last couple of years, and I got too focused in on Department of Ed initiatives. I got too focused in on state assessments. And being able to take a year off and kind of reevaluate and reflect and look at the kind of country landscape around education, I think I made a big mistake in not listening more to my staff and what they were saying. And I don't know how to, you know, it's not a tip, it's not a trick. It's just something that I think consciously we need to step back and reflect on. And so as your listeners, you know, start this, you know, start their next school year and are thinking about what they're going to implement for the next, for the upcoming year, take a step back and talk to your staff. And one of the things that I just finished as part of my transition back, I took a 15-minute meeting with every staff member, secretary, custodian, yes, para, teacher. And I had the same five or six questions that I asked them. And it was eye-opening. I'd never done anything like that before.
Wow, okay.
Now, I had the time right now to do it, but it's something that I picked up from a couple different speakers that I had heard over the year. And it's something that I want to try to implement a couple of times next year. And I can't remember who the speaker was, but he called it a 2-minute drill. And he literally at the end of the first semester, he brings each staff member in for a 2-minute. You okay? Anything going on? Any big issues? Just to reinforce that face-to-face connection. Because I think when we get in the hustle and bustle of the year, we lose that because we're running constantly. But if a school leader can carve out that time to sit down with every staff member and let them share, you know, I just asked them, you know, what's been your highlight of the year? This was the most important question. If you were principal tomorrow, what would you change first and why?
Love it.
I got some eye-opening answers to that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
That's really great. I'm going to share a couple of things because you're really getting me fired up there. we're reading The Power of Moments right now in The Mastermind, and it's about creating these peak moments that really people remember, you know, for a lifetime and that sort of thing. So I want listeners to check out that book if you haven't read it yet. But we talk about relationships all the time, weekly. And it's so funny when somebody will say, Danny, you know, I'm starting to get it. It's all about relationships. Yeah, it's all about relationships. And I think what you were afforded by getting out of your bubble a little bit, what your, you know, your comfort zone and going around the country and seeing all this great stuff is that, yeah, you know, if you could go all in on relationships, the rest actually will take care of itself. And so, yes, you know, I think what Dan and I want to challenge the listener right now is moving into the school year, be intentional, set aside blocks of time, whether it's at the end of the semester running that 2-minute drill or the beginning of the school year and sitting down with everybody for 10 minutes or whatever. The last school I served, you know, part of my 90-day plan, I met with everybody from custodians to the assistant principals and everyone in between. And they all got 15 minutes. And I was just coaching one of my one-on-one clients on this recently too. And she said, you know, what should I ask? I said, ask the school stuff through a survey. You're going to get that. Like, what are the traditions we need to keep? You know, what are the things we do need to look at and change? But during those 15 minutes, get to know who those people are. Ask about their families. Ask about their hobbies. Yes. You know, like I talked to you during this interview, what is your why? Because if you could connect their passion, their purpose with the school's larger vision for how they want to school the community, magic is going to happen. And mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little teaser. I don't want to, because this is about you, but bucket list.
Go for it.
Bucket lists is a untapped, amazing resource to build relationships and connect your staff. And probably by the time this releases on my YouTube channel, there's going to be a video about bucket lists and how to use them as a school administrator, or I'll definitely talk about it on the school leadership series too. I don't want to take too much time here, but believe me, like that is an unexploited, amazing area. But Dan, let's pause here for just a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Dan Kelly, president, the current president of NASSP. We're having an incredible chat, and we're just shutting down the podcast interview now. So I just have a few questions to finish up with. And yep. Let's start with Dan. Is there one book, video, tool, or resource that has really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in this past year?
One?
One you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just finished George Kuros' book, Innovator's Mindset, I thought was excellent. I just finished Jimmy Costas' book, Culturize, which I think is a great, would be a great resource for like leadership teams, high school leadership teams to read over as a book study kind of thing. And that's something that we're considering with our leadership team. Obviously, if you're not on Twitter, that's the best resource out there. And I guess for quality of life, just make sure you take an hour a day to exercise or do something to clear your mind, whatever it is, yoga, running, cycling, spinning, whatever. Don't make this 24/7 job consume you that you forget about your own health.
Exactly. Hey, what do you like to do for exercise? Just curious.
Yeah. So I'm nursing an injury right now. So right now I'm doing spinning. So I go to a spin gym a couple times a week. I used to be a runner, but my knees are getting bad. But I like to go hunting and fishing and being outdoors as much as possible too. But right now the exercise is spin class. That kicks my butt.
Yeah, that would kick mine too. Hey, Dan, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
I would put something about student voice, about, you know, something to the effect of, take 2 minutes to listen to a student today or ask a student what he's passionate about, you know, so it kind of touches that relationship, but I think it also allows, we need to keep getting kids to speak up more about what they're passionate about and what they, what they're interested in. I don't have a real good succinct quote for that, but it would be something around student voice and listening to students.
Maybe it's just a question, you know, have you listened to your students today?
Could be something simple. Yeah, I guess it could be that simple. Yeah.
Well, Dan, you made it to the end of the podcast. This is our most popular question. It's quite a doozy, so I hope you're ready. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
So this is a great question in that I've had so many conversations with different educators and friends of mine over the years of my career going, oh, it'd be so great if you and I could go build a school together. I think one of the first things that I would look at would be developing a open concept building that allowed kids to be able to come and go. It would be no bells. We would have open spaces for kids to collaborate in. We would have power stations and chargers and maker spaces. I think our kids have lost the ability, the art of play. So just to have Legos set up where they can build and tinker and explore would be awesome. So I think structure of the building would probably be key to that. Academically, allowing kids to have choice in their learning. I think we force kids down too many paths and we don't let them follow their passions. I got to put in a plug to Harrisburg, South Dakota, Darren Elwine and Brad Seamer at one of the middle school and the high school over there. What they're doing with student choice, your listeners need to check it out. It was really, really fascinating, the work that they were doing there. And then I think the third thing for me in my dream school would not have grades. I think grades are really stifling learning. I think that we have a culture in our country of grade point accumulators, and it's about the points and it's not about the learning. And so I would want to create a culture that where it's about learning and following your passions and your interests and not about point collection.
Dan, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me would be on Twitter, and that would be at Daniel P. Kelly. And it's been an honor to serve school leaders as NESSP president this past year. And I look forward to learning with everybody through this podcast and through the work that you're doing, Danny, and connecting online.
Well, better leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Dan. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Dan in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. And Dan, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My pleasure. Have a great year, everyone.
All right, better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.